Last Thursday morning, a woman died and her boyfriend was seriously injured in a shark attack at a remote New South Wales beach. And there's reports that the attack happened as the couple was filming dolphins in the water. It was the fifth fatal shark attack in Australia this year, and it's a tragedy for their families, and it's sobering for beachgoers, especially as summer begins. So are shark attacks on the rise in Australia? And are we doing all we can to reduce them? It's certainly not a consistent approach around the country. Tell me what you think. Do you worry about sharks when you go swimming? Are you more likely to swim at a beach that has shark nets or drum lines or drones? With me is Professor Cullen Brown, head of the Fish Lab at Macquarie University, and Stephen Pearce, who's CEO of Surf Lifesaving New South Wales. Cullen, I might start with you. What do we know about the shark that was in this particular attack last week?
Yes, it was quite unusual in that it was a bull shark, probably a 3-metre bull shark, which is adult size, but it was reasonably shallow and along a long stretch of sandy beach, which is a little bit unusual. I certainly would have put money on it being a juvenile white shark when I first heard about it. But in this case, a bull shark. And most of the bull shark bites usually happen in and around estuaries. So, yeah, this is a little bit of an unusual one, not just in terms of the location combination with the species, but the fact that two people were injured and unfortunately one person died.
What are the sort of sharks normally involved in attacks?
Well, the top four, three of them people will be aware of. White sharks are the most common one, and that's largely because juveniles that are around about 2.5 to 3 metres start switching prey to bigger things, and the way they figure out what's edible and what's not is by taking a little nibble. And unfortunately, when a 2.5-metre white shark has a little bit of a nibble, it tends to result in catastrophic blood loss. So white sharks, number one. Second is tiger sharks. Tiger sharks, we don't get too many tiger sharks coming too far down south. They tend to be sort of more tropical. And then, believe it or not, it's warbegongs, which probably most people wouldn't be aware of.
Yeah.
But warbegongs are commonly biting people, and I think that's because they're hard to spot. And people look at them and they think, oh, that's a funny-looking carpet thing, and then it turns around. They are very fast when they want to bite, and they're very defensive of their spots. And then last is bull sharks, which, you know, typically also warmer water, but typically associated with estuaries.
Is it? It's really hard to put numbers around this sort of thing. I think when we hear about a fatal shark attack, it's really hard to ignore that. It really stands out in our mind. What do we know about trends? Are they becoming more common?
They are becoming more common. If you go back 100 years ago, the number of incidents was only about 6 or so. 50 years ago, around about the same. And over the last 10 or 15 years, it's been about 24, 25. But having said that, you know, the population has gone from 6 million to 27 million, and the vast majority of us live on the coasts, and we're spending an increasing amount of time in the water. So those things alone, population increase and the concentration of people in the water, is more than enough to explain the increase.
Stephen, from the surf lifesaving perspective, can you talk me through what happens when a shark attack happens on a beach where there are lifeguards?
Yeah, so obviously when a shark attack does occur, our lifeguards and lifesavers are generally, you know, the first responders there, if not for the bystanders in the water and other surfers. And we saw that specifically at the tragic attack down at Dee. So our lifeguards and lifesavers, you know, will either, you know, launch their boats or go out to assist the person. Through our radio network, you know, we'll notify our state communication centre, and from there, essentially a whole protocol erupts where all emergency services are notified. We'll try and get a Westpac helicopter in the air, or 9 times out of 10, the ambulance service will respond. They're told paramedics by helicopter as well. We shut the beaches down, that particular beach and nearby beaches, and then we work with the Department of Primary Industries and Regional Development and their scientists, you know, to assist in trying to identify the shark, and also assist with more shark surveillance drones up in the air whilst they deploy smart drum lines at that location.
Mm. What does it do to the mood at a surf lifesaving location?
Yeah, look, I was talking to someone earlier on about this, so the tragic attack down there in Dee-Why, and that's the first one I can remember for a long, long time.
This was in September.
Correct. Yep. Yes, in a metropolitan location that was really close to the Dee-Why Surf Club. We would have anticipated, and we were expecting, numbers of nippers and lifesavers memberships to really decline because of that. But we've actually had the reverse swing, where we've had the greatest amount of members join that club in many, many years. Yet when there was a spate of fatal shark attacks up on the far north coast around 2016 around Ballina and Lennox Head, a lot of the surf club fraternities, were almost decimated because people were just that fearful of going in the water because of the frequency of the attacks that were occurring up there.
Mm. You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking to Stephen Pearce, who's the CEO of Surf Life Saving New South Wales, and Cullen Brown, who's a professor, head of the Fish Lab at Macquarie University, about shark attacks. Very, very sadly, there was a fatal shark attack on a remote New South Wales beach last week, the fifth fatal shark attack this year in Australia. And we're talking about whether we're doing enough to protect beachgoers from shark attacks. And I'm asking you what your perspective is on whether it's something you worry about when you go in the water, whether the sort of technology that is at the beach you're going to is a factor for you when you're choosing to get in the water. Greg's texted in saying, there are some dangerous sharks, but there are some wonderfully beautiful and fabulous and fascinating sharks. Nothing like snorkeling and finding a wobbegong in amongst the sea plants and rocks. Well, Cullen, Greg needs to watch out while he's snorkeling. You said that they are a threat, but it's a good point. Like, we visit their home, not the other way around.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, my dad used to say, and as long as the sharks don't wander into his pub, he's fine with the status quo. We just have to be aware that, everything we do comes with a risk. And quite honestly, if you go to the beach, you're about 400 times more likely to have a car crash than you are of being killed by a shark. And if you get to the beach, you're about 300 times more likely to be, taken out to sea and drowned. So the probability of being killed by a shark is infinitesimally small, and there's about 100 things that'll kill you long before that. We're just not very good at risk assessment, and everybody's terrified of sharks, but honestly, we really need to reevaluate whether that's a rational fear or not, and quite frankly, it's probably not.
It's part of the reason why it's such a slim possibility is because of the sorts of technologies that we have at beaches. We've got drum lines, we've got drones, we've got shark nets. Are those helping protect us, Cullen?
Well, they do to some extent, but the reality is sharks just don't eat people. It's not like in the NT, where the crocs will take you no matter what, and that occurs both in freshwater and saltwater. If that was the same case with sharks, you wouldn't be able to get in the sea anywhere around the whole of Australia, because there are always sharks everywhere all of the time. That's just the reality. And so, they're just not after us. And occasionally these tragic events happen, but it's extremely rare. And the reality is that sharks just aren't out to get us. Occasionally they come out and perhaps have a go out of curiosity, or perhaps they're defending themselves or something like that. But it's extremely rare.
I do want to talk about some of the technologies that we do have. It's a mixed bag across Australia, but Stephen, you're in New South Wales, so let's talk about the New South Wales picture. Talk to us about the drones and the other technologies that are in place.
Yeah, look, I'd have to say, and I'm not doing a sales pitch here for the New South Wales government, but in New South Wales, we would probably have the most comprehensive shark management strategy out of any other state in Australia. So here in New South Wales, the overarching strategy is the UAVs, or the drones, for the drone surveillance. There's shark nets, there's the smart drum lines, and there's the VR4G listening stations, and also the Shark Smart app as well. So, with the drones, Surf Life Saving New South Wales, we fly drones at 50 discrete locations that are selected by the Department of Prime Ministries and Regional Development, and we fly those drones during school holidays and public holidays in itself. And to give you an indication of, I guess, just how broad this is, and also to back up a point that Cullen made, last year our drones at 50 locations, we flew just over 163,000 kilometres. There was around 37,000 flights. But during that period, we spotted only 1,000, just over 1,000 target sharks. And the target sharks that we look for white sharks, tiger sharks, and bull sharks. Mm. And out of those 1,000, around 850 times we actually had to engage the shark in that particular situation.
What does that mean?
Engage the shark doesn't mean anything in regards to something harming the shark, but it would either be having to evacuate the beach because it was a target shark. It would either be setting the sirens off on the drones to alert the swimmers down in the water or the surfers. Our drones that we fly for shark surveillance also have speakers, so the pilots on a lot of these occasions would have dropped the drone down right above the heads of the swimmers or surfers and talked to the swimmers in the water to tell them there's a danger in the vicinity and to assist them moving out. We don't see that many sharks for the amount of flights that we cover, but that's just 50 locations just in the school holiday period. And a lot of those locations aren't in metropolitan Sydney locations because of CASA regulations in regards to flight paths. But what we do fly the drones, they're in the air almost 6 to 8 hours a day consistently.
So that's New South Wales. Cullen, what's the picture more broadly in Australia in terms of shark prevention?
Yeah, well, I mean, the good thing about the New South Wales approach is that it's supposed to be non-lethal. Unfortunately, some of the time, particularly with the nets, it is lethal. But smart drone lines and the drone flights, it's obviously that is non-lethal, which is a fantastic way to prevent any kind of, you know, human-shark interaction whilst also preserving marine wildlife. Queensland, on the other hand, they do tend to be lethal in their approach, and it was only fairly recently that they even stopped doing that in the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park, which is kind of astonishing. You would think that if sharks could be safe anywhere, it would be on the Great Barrier Marine Path. So that's a bit of a shame in terms of their approach there. And they're just about to expand the number of nets and drum lines and things up there too. And they're a bit slower to transition to new technologies, including the use of smart drum lines as opposed to the old school drum lines, which unfortunately they don't make the contractors aware that there's a shark on the line, and the sharks usually just drown in those circumstances. And Western Australia used to also have a lethal approach, but they don't anymore. So they've switched over to an approach that's a bit more similar to New South Wales, but it's nothing like the scale that we have here.
On the text line, you're telling me about your perspectives with sharks when you go to the beach, and the vibe very much seems to be the onus is on the individual. Harry says, I go into the ocean at Lighthouse Beach in Port Macquarie, about 40 kilometres north of where the tragic incident happened on Friday. My plea, says Harry, is that as well as the usual advice, swim between the flags, we should also be saying swim between the waves. If you want to avoid shark attacks, this is a much safer zone to be in, just up to your waist. Another says tourists need to swim between the flags. And Simon says people are not avoiding swimming at dawn and dusk. Cullen, what can we be doing as beachgoers to protect ourselves? How much of this is evidence-based and how much of it is what my dad told me when I was a kid?
Well, you know, sometimes those what your dad told you as a kid turn out to be, you know, truth to some extent.
No shade on my
certainly
dad.
Certainly, that's all right. Dawn and dusk is actually good advice. And you have to remember that we are tinkering with very, very small probabilities here. So, you know, it's already a very, very small chance that you're going to get bitten or killed by a shark. So, but, you know, you're working with a fraction of a percent in terms of probability here. But certainly avoiding dawn and dusk, and that just corresponds to an increase in shark activity. Lots and lots of animals in the ocean are crepuscular, so they're more active in the mornings and in the evening, you know, as the sun's going down. So that's a good one. Also, just don't swim alone. I mean, that's an obvious one, but sharks will be intimidated by large groups of people rather than one person. And more to the point, if you do get bitten, you need somebody to save you, to stop the bleeding and to call for help. So you should never really be swimming alone. And then, of course, there's rainfall. Generally speaking, after heavy rainfall, you really should steer clear of any beach that's close to an estuary, because sharks are attracted to estuaries after heavy rainfall, particularly bull sharks and tiger sharks and those sorts of things, because they're waiting for dead things to be washed down out of the out of those rivers. So they're kind of like the garbage men of the sea, many of these sharks. So they'll take pretty much anything, dead or alive, but they'll try it anyway. So they're the main things.
Stephen, anything you'd add there?
Oh, look, I think it's just for your listener that did text in, it's a bit of a fallacy about swim between the waves because there's no sharks there. We spot probably more sharks within the wave zone than we do outside of the wave zone in itself. And you know, some sharks we spot only, you know, like probably 10 metres off the beach in some instances in itself. But again, and it might sound a little bit ridiculous here, but the safest place to swim, as Callum said, is at a patrolled location where there are lifesavers and lifeguards on duty because for two reasons. One, they're always surveilling the water looking for swimmer safety, and there's a higher probability that they may see something rather than if you're in an unpatrolled location. But secondly, if something terrible was to occur, the lifesavers and lifeguards are all trained in advanced first aid, have all the equipment and can come to that response, you know, really, really quickly.
Callum, you mentioned before as well about just the threat that humans are to sharks. What can we be doing to help with conservation efforts?
Yeah, well, that's the irony. I mean, actually, the target sharks that we're talking about are all threatened and endangered. And in fact, that you need special permission from the Environment Minister to even have these spayer protection programs in place, because otherwise it would be against the law. So we need to do better in terms of protecting our animals. And from my perspective, the nets themselves, shark nets, are pretty much a waste of time. There's really no scientific evidence to suggest that they protect people, but they certainly catch a huge number of non-target animals, whales and turtles and dolphins and all those sorts of things. So we really need to get rid of that. And I would rather get rid of the nets and reinvest that money in drone technology and smart drum lines. Smart drum lines have a massive impact. They catch well over 1,000 or more target sharks each season, and the bycatch is almost nothing. The survival rate is extremely high, and the drones, obviously, you know, there's no impact on the sharks from the drones, and they are very good at saving people and getting people out of the water. So I'd much rather invest in that technology. And at the moment, you know, we're really scratching the surface with what we can do with drones. I mean, at the moment, the surf life-saving pilots fly them, but you know, you can have fully automated drones with AI technology that automatically detect sharks. They can figure out how big the shark is, what species it is, and automatically send messages to a base unit or alert swimmers. So I would much rather go down that road, considering sharks and rays are already in trouble.
Stephen, Callum, thank you both so much for joining me today. Professor Callum Brown is head of the Fish Lab at Macquarie University, and Stephen Pearce is CEO of Surf Life Saving New South Wales. We did reach out to the New South Wales Department of Primary Industries because they're the ones in charge of shark detection and protection in New South Wales. A spokesperson said the New South Wales Government Shark Management Plan for 25-26 includes drone surveillance at up to 50 beaches, 305 shark management alert in real time, smart drum lines in 19 local government areas, shark nets at 51 beaches, the Shark Smart app, and they say there is no other jurisdiction in Australia or around the world which has done as much testing and trialing of technology and approaches to mitigate shark interactions. And they make the point, sharks are a natural part of a healthy ocean environment. There's no one way to make the ocean completely safe for swimming and surfing.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.